I joined the club in about 1952. I was 16. It was then mainly a club which had club runs, the normal thing at the time, and you'd go go for a ride, have an 11 a.m. stop there, a cup of tea and cake, and then sometimes something lunchtime. And often it was arranged a tea stop, and that might be in the summertime, that might be in about between 4 and 6, and then you'd come home in the daylight. We generally met outside what was then Welling Stores, which is now John Lewis.
So who started this group?
I believe it was a chap called Alec Duncan. We believe, and it's only a consensus of general ideas, about 1947. To some degree, it was some of my school friends were joining, and it was a thing to do. Most of those only lasted a year or two.
I was already a cyclist, having belonged to a club at home, and so I looked for who was the local cycling club. So I joined Welling Wheelers in 1957, and they're still there. I was already racing when I came here. I had already been racing time trials and road races, but then, of course, if you were racing, you had to join British Cycling, the NCU. In fact, at one stage, you used to have an NC National Cyclist Union license and a BLRC, British League of Racing Cyclists license. So if we were riding road races, we needed to have two licences, and you entered whichever race you wanted to ride.
Racing was always on Sunday. We generally covered between 90 and 100 miles. So local is a relative term. Called to most people around at the time around here, was about a 5-mile radius of where they lived. Local to us was probably 50-mile radius. Mm.
Because bearing in mind that nobody had cars then, yeah, we got around riding a bicycle. And I used to do as many miles on the bike as I now do in a car. So, yeah, you rode to races on a bike, raced, and then you rode home again. Yeah.
See, the racing at Stapleford Tawney, so you rode over there, which was about 25 miles, and I've ridden many races over there, 30 miles long, and then ridden home.
The races we used to ride when I first came to live here, there used to be time trials with a course starting at Biggleswade. And what we used to do was ride to Biggleswade either at the evening before and stay in a B&B overnight, cheap B&B, ride the race, and then ride maybe a 50-mile race or a 100-mile race, and then ride home again.
Yeah. Or go, if it was a 25-mile race, go out and meet the club that was on the club runs.
Yeah,
was common practice.
Yeah, it was a whole day activity. That's what we live for.
The headquarters then, if my memory is correct, it was a Nissen hut which was situated in Welling Garden City, where B&Q now stands. It had been, and perhaps still was at that time, run as a British restaurant, which was something which the government had during the war. So we met there once or twice a week. I can't remember whether it was once or twice or both.
When I first came here, it was a hut at the back of the Beehive pub. And then, of course, we eventually moved to Dossing Sports Bar. And
so
this is now our headquarters.
How long would you have been at the hut at the Beehive?
Probably till around
till this was built.
Yeah, probably about 59-60 we moved here.
And the hut we had here was given to us by the local authority, I assume. It had been used at Mill Green, which wasn't a golf course then, it was a camp, and it had housed prisoners of war. And it was re-erected here, and we used that until...
That was our meeting place here. Mm. Yeah. And a couple of the girls, members, used to do teas and coffees and that sort of thing, and it was our own building.
Yes.
And we had a table tennis table.
But that was our sort of home base. Yeah, and then of course when this base was built, we moved.
It was a temporary building where the Collingwood Suite is. It wasn't so temporary, it was substantial but temporary nevertheless. We used that, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right, we moved to there. Yeah. We meet here because we've got the track. And after a track training session, a few of us possibly come up here and have a drink or a chat and a coffee or tea or whatever. So, but we have no official club room now. But we use this room as our unofficial club room.
And that's been for many years, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, probably since the hut we used here was taken down to build the first squash courts. No, there was an official route and a place to go, and as I said, some sort of objective, and as I said, there would be usually a room or in a cafe booked for a cup of, you know, for tea in the late afternoon. You'd have somewhere to go. Some of the runs went, clearly most of them went in an arc from west to east of London, going north. But we did have a couple of times we'd go to Rochester's, one of the places I remember going to.
Really?
When you rode through London, and it was quite possible to do that, and through the Blackwall Tunnel over the ferry.
In the 50s when you were...
What, in the club?
Well, I think it's probably near 50, Peter.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And now it's 250. The most active people in the club now are the youth riders, the under 18s, under 16s. Whereas before, there were no really facilities for youth riders.
So you didn't really start until you were about 15 or 16.
No, that's right. There was a club jersey. Yeah. That isn't it.
We didn't ride. It was infradig to ride in your racing gear.
And they would ride, you know, the sort of normal clothes was probably a waterproof jacket. Whereas now, you see around the Welling Garden, you'll see people out in the green and white jerseys with Welling Wheelers.
You'd wear a shirt, if you see my rolled-up sleeves and some sort of windproof or warm jacket. But the trousers, the shorts for riding around the road were sort of a thick cavalry twill with a double seat in them. I went on tour with some friends for a fortnight, and we rode from Welling Garden City to the west of Wales, North Wales, the Lake District to Carlisle and Gretna Green, and then back down the eastern side of the Pennines, and then we cut across to Stratford-on-Avon, and that was the last night in Stratford-on-Avon. That's the group I went with.
Now, the only social event, well, I mean, you met in that evening, and you know, cyclists are great talkers. They talk about cycling till the cows come home. But then you had the official, there was an annual dinner and prize presentation every year, and that would be held in either a local hotel or wherever. Homestead Court, I think we have some in Homestead Court.
And then
local pubs.
They'd fill out a favour, that sort of thing.
Yes. Because
everything was changing, and social habits for the general public were changing as well. The formal dinner and dances which we were running disappeared as well.
Mm. Whereas years ago, you know, you would race in the summer, and then you go out on sort of club runs and rides in the winter.
You followed the big name, and at the early time when Peter and I joined the club and was cyclist, you weren't allowed to race before you were 14. So all some of the youngsters we've got, you know, there wouldn't have been a place for them to be. To some degree, you get up on a Sunday morning and you'd expect to go somewhere.
Mm.
But if there was a howling gale behind you, if you were going up there, you'd probably say, no, we'll go somewhere else today because we want the easier ride on the way back.
Mm. You go out into the wind and come home with the wind behind.
It also, from this club's particular viewpoint, it was to some degree fairly low ebb in terms of senior riders, and one of those had been away doing his national service in Hong Kong. And when he came back, he had been good, and he turned out to be an international. So he tended to rule the roost in terms of where we're going to do, what sort of training we're going to do, and this, that, and the other. I mean, the training runs were pretty brutal in those days.
Yeah.
January the 1st, it didn't matter what day if January 1st was the first Sunday in the year, it was Cambridge and back.
That's right. His name was Carl Gough.
The third week of January came along, you know, it was Northampton and back.
That's right.
And it could be fairly hard.
If you weren't up to it and you sort of, you know, couldn't make it, they'd leave you.
Leave you out in them.
I remember getting this dropped off at the and ended up in Bedford and had to find my way home.
For another one was Oxford.
Oxford, that's right. Yeah.
And I got dropped just the other side of St Albans, and that's the last I saw of them until I got to Oxford and saw them coming back the other way. and they didn't wait. You know, it was
survival.
If you couldn't cope,
survival of the fittest.
You really.
If you wanted tips, you'd go and talk to some of the better riders. Sometimes you wouldn't get proper tips. They would try and confuse you because they didn't want you to beat them.
And these were people who there are names up there in the 60s who were internationals, but they never had any coaching.
You learnt as you went along. Yeah. And at that stage in the mid 50s when I came here, late 50s, we had a very good road team. You know, Carl Gough, Gordon Ferdinand, Ron Norton,
yeah,
Keith Harridge, and they would win all the local races.